Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill-sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined by Andy Devlin and Colin Duncan. And Andy, another momentous weekend in Scottish football. Celtic complete the treble and a remarkable Invincibles campaign. 47 domestic games unbeaten. Did you think you'd ever see the like?
I'll be honest, Derek, I didn't. Recent Celtic managers, you know, the likes of Martin O'Neill, was unable to do it. You know, hats off to Brendan Rodgers. He's come in there. I think, you know, everybody's spoken about the quality they added, but to get so much more out of a squad of players that, you know, plainly were underperforming under Ronnie Dyla, but to get these guys playing the way they are, the kind of attractive football that they're playing, and the ruthlessness that they've shown in games, that's what's really stood out for me. I think we all felt there were spells on Saturday where Aberdeen were undoubtedly on top, and you felt real test for Celtic here, but they know how to win football games. They don't seem to panic. He has just got them into this, as I say, really ruthless, clinical outfit, and I think they've been clinical all season long. Tremendous achievement by the players, the staff, and I think that was reflected on Sunday. You know, when you saw the support that came out for the Legends game with Henrik Larsson and Lubo Moravcik, there's just such a feel-good factor surrounding the club at the moment. And when you consider what they banked, Derek, in the Champions League this season, they're only going to get stronger. And that's the real fear for everybody else.
The Scottish Cup final triumph over Aberdeen, Colin, there are still, you know, cynics out there, Sun Sport columnist Chris Boyd among them, who's pointing to obviously the quality or lack of it in Scottish football. How do you feel about the achievement? I mean, does quality of the opposition come into it? Is this just a standalone amazing achievement?
I think there's an old saying, you only beat what's put in front of you, and it's hard to take away from Celtic's achievement. The thing about the whole run, that 47 game run they went on domestically this season, the only time they really looked in any trouble was Saturday against Aberdeen. Not one point in the season have you really thought, you know, this record could be under threat. Even if we're down to Motherwell, you know, they're 2-0 and they come back, and they won convincingly in the end. It was, you know, they never thought at any point in that game, oh, Motherwell might beat them. That's the thing, it stands out. Yeah, the standard in Scottish football is not what it was 10, 15 years ago, but Celtic have been streets ahead of everybody. You know, they've been just so consummate all the way through. And I think Saturday was probably the only time, maybe at half time, you thought, they're in a real game here. And then it just shows you the mark of the team and the mark of a manager, that they don't panic. And in the second half, I mean, they absolutely steamrolled Aberdeen. And it was like the siege of the Alamo the last 20, 25 minutes. I mean, and while Aberdeen, you know, it was a valiant, heroic effort, you know, there was only going to be one winner.
I think that's a good point Colin Mink said about that Motherwell game. That was, what, October, you know, last year.
Motherwell went 2-0
up, Celtic get it back, and then Motherwell went ahead again. But, you know, I agree with Colin. I think there was a feeling that day that Celtic were still going to win, or they were certainly going to get a draw out of it. You know, Motherwell had done really well to get, you know, two goals ahead, peg back, get the lead again, but there just seemed to be a feeling in the press box, certainly, that Celtic had enough in them, and there was no... I mean, I was working that game. I certainly hadn't started writing anything, because I thought, you know, this is going to be a rewrite if you start just now. I think there was always a feeling, and I think back to that game, you know, the composure they showed, as Colin said, nobody panicked. They just know how to win football matches.
I mean, clearly, guys, signings like Moussa Dembele, Scott Sinclair, outstanding, but I don't know how you feel. Personally, I think the two biggest achievements for Brendan Rodgers are the attitude that you've just been mentioning there, Andy, that he's instilled in this team. Never, ever ease up. They won the league a month before the end of the season, over a month. But instead of easing up, they actually get even more intense with their desire. And I think the transformation of the players, up to eight or nine players, remarkably, has taken to a new level.
But you look at, I mean, Scott Sinclair got the player of the year and deservedly so, but maybe if the players and had the vote, or the journalists had a vote, maybe like 3 or 4 weeks later, then Stuart Armstrong might have been well walked off with the
vote. He was my vote, Colin.
His performance had just been absolutely superhuman. You look at the player Stuart Armstrong was under Ronnie Dyla, and then you look at the player now that's just finished the season under Brendan. I mean, the transformation is as, I mean, he's probably the first name in Gordon Strachan's team sheet when they go to play England in a couple of weeks' time.
I thought Armstrong was a decent player, but now he's looking top class. And on the Saturday, personally, I thought he was man of the match on Saturday, Stuart Armstrong. Sorry, Andy.
I was going to say, you know, he's been the player, you know, along with Scott Brown. I mean, real doubts at the start of the season. I think Scott Brown alluded to it last week himself. He had doubts whether he could perform to the level that Brendan Rodgers was obviously looking for. What a season Scott Brown's had. You know, kind of took himself out the international kind of set up for a while, has come back in. Whether that break, you know, he felt he needed it mentally, certainly physically he looks like he could go on. And that was Scott Brown's biggest concern. Did he have the legs? Did he have the hunger? Did he have the appetite? Well, he's answered all these questions. And yeah, I agree with you, Derek. I think Stuart Armstrong, Kieran Tierney as well, obviously, has been terrific. But, you know, Stuart Armstrong has been the real success story and probably typifies and signifies what Brendan Rodgers has done with the players that were already there. You mentioned the quality that Sinclair and Dembele has added. But if you're looking for somebody who underlines the transformation in mentality and, you know, the ethos of that club, is Stuart Armstrong.
I mean, Callum McGregor, reasonable player, I think we felt, even up to the start of the season, you know, tidy enough player, maybe not brilliant or a certain starter, but the transformation in Callum McGregor, that he can put him to left back in a Scottish Cup final and he's comfortable. The belief he's put in that boy, I mean, you know, that's quite something as well, you know?
Yeah, I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, he's probably one of the kind of unsung heroes of that Celtic team this season. You know, there's never much fuss, never much fanfare, not a headline grabber, but you just look at the steady, solid job that he's done right from throughout the start of the season in three or four different positions. Never ever let Celtic down. He's always 7 or 8 out of 10 virtually every week. He's popped up with vital goals at vital times in some of the big matches. And this is a guy at the start of the season, quite a lot of people probably think, well, does Callum McGregor have a future, you know, at Celtic? You know, is he going to fit in? You know, there was the likes of him and Liam Henderson and a few of the other guys that were on the periphery, but he's been given an opportunity. He's taken it with both hands. He's knuckled down, worked hard, and he's been rewarding. He's become, you know, he's become a regular. He's like the one guy that Brendan Rodgers turned to, and even there. And
can totally rely on him, can't
he? Yeah, well, look at the final on Saturday. Kieran Tierney gets that bad injury. You're thinking, well, what's he going to do? He's going to shuffle it about? Is he going to bring on another defender, which probably most 99% of managers would do? Bring on Gamboa? No, we'll just put an attack-minded player on and we'll drop Callum McGregor back in, and he was terrific at left.
Yeah, and I think that just, again, for me, underpins the strength and depth that he's got, and as you mentioned, Derek, the belief that he's instilled in the players. And from a, you know, from a point of view of looking at the summer, it doesn't require major surgery. You know, Brendan Rodgers will obviously be looking to add quality because his focus will now turn to the Champions League again and getting beyond the group stages to the last 16. And to do that, he's obviously going to add quality, or he'll need to add quality. But it does not require, Celtic do not require major surgery. A couple of quality signings in there. And I, like I said at the start, it just takes them, certainly domestically, further ahead.
Of course, going into Saturday's Cup final, I think there was a stat that, I think it was the previous 11-12 finals, the team that scored first won the Cup. Now, I think everyone felt going into the game that to have a chance, Aberdeen had to score first, and they did that. Asked the question, but Celtic come back so emphatically and so quickly.
It's a trait that's been familiar right throughout the season with Celtic. You know, we'd all said that, you know, to make it a contest, Aberdeen needed to score, you know, test Celtic's mettle, see how they react. You know, they get straight out of the park and score within 90 seconds. And that's what they have done all through the season. I mean, I don't know the exact stats, but how many minutes have Celtic actually trailed in matches this season? You know, there was a Motherwell game and they responded fairly
quickly. Rangers took the lead, the Hogmanay
Derby. Rangers took the lead and they straight out of the park and scored. You know, they've hardly been behind. You know, it's not as if they've been... So, and that was, again, a typical response on Saturday. I mean, and that's the sign of a good team. That's the sign of a confident team. Just so much belief that they go out in the park and they generally do think they are invincible.
There was another one that jumped out at me, Derek, at the weekend in terms of stats. It was Celtic have scored 20 goals now this season, 82 minutes and beyond.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not a fluke. It's not luck. You know, people think back to the great, you know, Fergie time, Sir Alex Ferguson time at Manchester United. You know, why do United always score late goals? Well, they keep going, their fitness levels are, you know, far superior to anybody else that they're up against. They keep going, they keep plodding on, and that's what Celtic have done. to score 20 goals this season,
that's some start.
82nd minutes and beyond is an incredible start, an incredible feat, and testament again to the fitness levels. Scott Brown, to go back to him, he spoke about that. He's never been fitter, he's never felt fitter, and you can see that. And it's that ruthlessness and the desire that gets you. Always feel there's a goal in Celtic, if it's tied, certainly under Brendan Rodgers, if the game's tied, if it's in the balance, you just feel there's a goal in Celtic.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined by Andy Devlin and Colin Duncan. And Colin, we've rightly been giving praise to Callum McGregor, but there was a pivotal moment on Saturday at 1-1 where McGregor, probably the one mistake he made in the game, he's caught in two minds about whether a pass back or to put it down the other side of the pitch. He's gone for the pass back. Johnny Hayes has read it, blocked it, and then scampered in on goal. Scott Brown's the only man back for Celtic. You've got Kenny McLean behind Scott Brown waiting for Hayes' pass. The pass was slightly behind McLean. The chance went a-begging. How big a moment do you think in terms of the game was that, if Aberdeen had taken the lead then?
We just talked about, every time Celtic have been asked a question, they've found an answer. If a team score and they go behind, they come back. Would they have had the legs and the momentum to come back had Aberdeen scored at that point in the game? Probably, but we don't know. But I mean, that's certainly for Aberdeen, that was a pivotal moment in the match. There's been a lot said and a lot written about, saying Johnny Hayes' pass was a little bit behind him and things. I don't think the fault was Johnny Hayes.
I think Kenny McLean
yeah, he has to realise that the only way that Johnny Hayes is going to cut the ball back, he can't be playing it forward or risk being offside, he's going to cut back, he has to check his run a split second, half a stride, and he's got to tap in into the empty net. I would blame, harsh though it may be, Kenny McLean rather than Johnny Hayes for the miss. And from that point, that was a let off. Celtic really grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck, and they were just relentless. They never looked back from that moment. And while it took them until injury time to get the goal, it was coming.
I mean, that's the fine margins you're operating in when you're playing against a team like Celtic, who are so good at going forward, that are so composed in the ball, so confident in possession, and so dominant in possession, that if you do not take these chances, that they're fleeting when they come along, if you don't take them. Aberdeen players, none of us were in the dressing room at half time, but I guarantee you, Derek, Aberdeen players would be sitting there thinking, God, we're not in front. We've played so well and we're not in front. We should be ahead, but we're not.
They've given so much,
they've put so much into it. As Colin said right at the start, probably as Celtic, certainly domestically, it was the biggest test posed to Brendan Rodgers and his players this season, but they're not ahead. They haven't got their noses in front. So all the while they'll be sitting there thinking, because they know Celtic are going to come at them, they know we've maybe blown it.
Yeah, I think you have to take your hat off to Aberdeen. They gave everything they possibly could. I thought they were absolutely, to a man,
outstanding.
The manager got his tactics spot on. He played the high press. He rushed Celtic into making mistakes. He couldn't have asked for any more of his players. The manager himself couldn't have done any. They threw the kitchen sink at Celtic, and Celtic still found a way to soak up all the pressure, come back at even stronger. Aberdeen were absolutely dead in their feet at the end. They ran themselves to a standstill.
They were quite rightly slaughtered for their non-event display in the Betfred Cup final last November against Celtic. But as you guys quite rightly point out, deserve nothing but praise for putting everything into Saturday. And I happen to think that at one point the cup was theirs. I think there was a point in the game where I think if they'd taken the lead, they would have gone on. The Hayes moment, they didn't, they didn't exactly completely crumble after it, but they seemed to be deflated, whereas Celtic seemed to take a warning from that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're sitting there at half time thinking,
these are
the chances. They're few and far between. We need to take them. We haven't done so. They know that Celtic, how good Celtic are. They've come up against them often enough this season. So they know that maybe that chance is gone. But yeah, credit to Aberdeen, because they made it a cup final. It was a compelling, enthralling, cracking game. Really a great spectacle for Scottish football. Two teams, best two teams in the country going at it. And yeah, quite often not, these things are a bit of a letdown. They don't live up to the hype or the expectation, but Saturday certainly did, Derek, and that's because Aberdeen made a game of it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the William Hill-sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined by Colin Duncan and Andy Devlin. And Andy, what's your gut feeling on Derek McInnes at Aberdeen? Do you think he will still be there next season?
At the moment, I do. I really do.
Sunderland target, of course.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, down south will be, you know, in Derek's mind. There's absolutely no doubt about that. All managers who tell you otherwise, you know, are telling you fibs. Sunderland, for me, isn't the right club for Derek McInnes. You know, they've obviously dropped down to the Championship. There's a major rebuilding job required there. Listen, Derek McGregor spoke to Derek McInnes often enough.
I'll still be here next season.
He'll still be here. Collins is the same. You know, we both know Derek. You know him as well, Derek. He's happy at Aberdeen. He's settled. He's enjoying his job. That job's become, you know, even more tough this summer. He's losing four players, spine of his team, the Gussie's team. But I think he'll relish the challenge of rebuilding again.
Well, I'll put another question to you, Andy. How much further can he take Aberdeen? Second in all competitions this season. Brilliant job.
He can win a trophy. He can win another trophy.
Aye.
There's no doubt. I mean, you say second in the league, two cup finals, lost to Celtic in both occasions. So next year, second again. Let's be honest, they're not going to win the league. They're not going to pip Celtic to the title, but they can certainly win either the League Cup or the Scottish Cup. And that's what Derek McInnes will be targeting. I think he's got unfinished business at Pittodrie, I really do. You know, he's obviously looking, we had the story, Sean Maloney. What a signing, I think that would be.
No question.
For Aberdeen. So Derek McInnes, for me, his mind is focused on, right, we've done well this season, it's gone, we go again. I think that was the words they used after the cup final, we go again. So he will be targeting silverware, absolutely no doubt. He is respected in Aberdeen, the fans love him, they're behind him, the players, he seems to get the best out of his players. And yeah, it's a massive job he has in terms of rebuilding and trying to close the gap, because he will be trying to close the gap, of course he will, but he'll be targeting silverware.
Colin, do you think Derek McInnes as a manager has taken himself to another level this season? Do you think he's improved as a manager this season?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you look at his year-on-year improvement from him, from his players, from the entire squad, you know, a hat-trick of second places. I mean, I'm sure they're going to know, gutted the fact they've lost in two cup finals and second in the league. But I mean, what more can you know? You look at the budgets and the resources he's got. I mean, it is in the cold light of day, and you analyse what they've actually achieved this season, and it's a phenomenal.
Three finals in 4 years.
Yeah, you know, but I agree with Andy. I don't think he'll touch Sunderland. I think it's a poison chalice. I think Derek's probably wise enough to realise that. You know, he's been down south before and he joined Bristol City at a time when they were really, really downsizing. He was on a hiding to nothing. I think that's exactly the same with Sunderland. I can see them even, you know, they're talking about them going back up. I think they'll actually be relegated again. I think they've got a bad squad, bad attitude. There's no real money there to rebuild. You know, Newcastle went back up this year and spent like £50-60 million. Yeah. Pound.
There's no way
Sunderland even come close to spending that on players to get back up. So I don't think he'll I don't think he'll head down there. And as Andy touched about, you know, they're talking about Sean Maloney. You know, the fact, you know, bringing in, you know, he's already signed Greg Tansey, who I think is an absolutely terrific acquisition. Yeah. You know, probably a light replacement with Ryan Jack, who played his last game at the weekend, and I thought was absolutely terrific. You know, there's talk about, you know, Ryan Christie coming in, you know, Johnny Hayes going out. So, I mean, he's already got guys he thinks that can, you know, light-for-light replacements for key players that he's going to lose in the summer.
And Andy, Collins very nicely introduced Johnny Hayes into the conversation, and our SunSport back page newspaper splash today, Celtic looking at Johnny Hayes. They're interested in Johnny Hayes. Would that for you be a good signing?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, he has been one of the reasons Aberdeen have finished second and have got themselves into two cup finals. Terrific pace, you know, very tricky opponent. You know, every time you see him, I think he gets better. And I think he would certainly fit into to the Celtic way of playing and the way Brendan Rodgers likes his teams to play. I think he's an exciting player. Again, they're few and far between, but he's been a real asset for Aberdeen, and I think he would be exactly the same for Celtic if he was to make the move.
I mean, our colleague David Friel's excellent exclusive in the Scottish Sun today about Celtic and Hayes, and he's a gutsy player, he's full of pace, and at the moment, realistically, I don't think Patrick Roberts will be returning to Celtic next season. Both wingers, maybe Hayes slightly different.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. What you said there, Gutsy, I think that, you know, the amount of times I've seen Johnny Hayes been kicked this season, but he just gets up and gets on with it, and that's what I admire. That
plays with the heart
plays
as well,
with
doesn't
the heart. He, you know, he gets a kick and he gets up, he gets on with the game. Yeah, for me, totally different for Patrick Roberts. You know, I think if Celtic could get him, they would do. But you know, the figures we're talking about are eye watering, even for Celtic. You know, is Johnny Hayes as good as Patrick Roberts? I don't think he is. You know, I think Patrick Roberts has been exceptional.
Oh, sensational
this season. Yep. I don't think Johnny Hayes. We can quite bracket him in that class. That's not to say, you know, again, you look how Brendan Rodgers has developed players right at the start. We spoke about that. Who's to say that he doesn't, you know, get Johnny Hayes under his wing and, you know, take his game to the next level?
And there was a fascinating line, Colin, that emerged the other day. Brendan Rodgers was talking about when Hayes was a kid at Reading, and, you know, Rodgers persuaded him not to go to Celtic.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
the irony of the whole thing, that, you know, he's a man that's going to kind of end up taking him back there. Yeah. I think, I mean, you're talking about good professionals, guys with a great attitude, a great appetite for the game, and I don't think it gets much better than Johnny Hayes. He's a good egg. He's just one of the good characters you want to have in your dressing room, as well as being a terrific player. Blistering pace. I mean, he was for 60 minutes before, you know, he looks as if his hamstring went late in the game. I mean, he terrified the life out of the Celtic defender. You could see almost the panic in their face every time he came near them. And he, you know, he's the type of player. You can see why Brendan would want to work with him. You know, he's an ideal Brendan Rodgers player.
Just to wrap up on the Johnny Hayes situation, Colin, I mean, do you think if, say, Aberdeen were to, say, get a million plus Ryan Christie thrown into the equation, is that a good deal for Aberdeen? Would they find that hard to turn that down?
I think they would, and I think Derek McInnes is the type of manager he's not going to stand in players' way. You know, I think when he's trying to sign players and bring them to Aberdeen, he basically saying to him, use this club as a platform. You know, if you want to go on to bigger and better things, I'm fully behind that. You know, I'll endorse that. I want you to better yourself. And if the big move comes in, then go for it. I mean, that's what he does with players at Aberdeen. And has been plenty. Used the platform to showcase their talents and got a terrific move in the back of it. And I think Derek McInnes would be absolutely gutted to lose Johnny Hayes, because he's been the best player for the past 3 years. But by the same token, I don't think he'll stand in his way. He'll wish him well, you know, give him a big hug and say, look, go and, you know, you've earned your move to you know, you've earned a dream move to Celtic, and go and make the most of it.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored SunSport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined by Colin Duncan and Andy Devlin. And Andy, the final domestic game of the season on Sunday, the Premiership playoff final. Congratulations to Hamilton Accies for managing to preserve their top flight status. They've beaten Dundee United. But looking at the bigger picture, Andy, in terms of the top flight, was that a bad result, that outcome? Would the top flight clubs have really wanted Dundee United back in?
I'm quite sure they would have, Derek, in terms
with
of...
With the greatest of respect to them.
Yeah, I'm quite sure they would have, in terms of Gates, a Dundee derby. You know, probably the old order restored in terms of, you know, Hibs also back up to the top flight. Bottom line is, Dundee United don't deserve to be in the top flight.
Yep.
They haven't been good enough. And we spoke about this last week about, you know, Dundee United, massive club, etc., etc.
They've had their chance.
Mm-hmm. They didn't take it. I mean, Hamilton Accies have been abject. I think they had six, seven wins all season in the SPFL. They've been abject. But, you know, you think back to that Motherwell game, the derby, the lost 1-0, albeit to a freak goal from Louis Moll. Hamilton, for me, were gone. They were absolutely dead and buried. I then was up in Dingwall the following midweek, where they played Ross County off the park, lost 3-2. Goodness knows, only know how they managed to lose that game. But they played tremendously well. They just dug it out. And then they go and beat Dundee. They dismantle Dundee. And they just carry that on to it. So Dundee United, you know, and people talk about an extra game in the Championship, they ran out of steam. That's how it is. That's the format. There was your opportunity. So yeah, I can understand in terms of fan base, in terms of the Dundee derby, and having your traditional big names in the top flight, I can understand that. But, you know, they're not good enough, bottom line.
Andy's right, Colin, isn't he? I mean, for all the size of the club and clearly they would bring more to the top flight. Let's not get away from that. But the fact is, they've still not got divine right to be in it. They've got to earn it. And, you know, as Andy says, Colin, Accies earned the right to stay where they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no contest when it comes to size of club and stature and that. I mean, Dundee United are way out in front of Hamilton Accies. But the bottom line is, Andy says, you know, you have to go and do your talking on the pitch. You know, it doesn't matter how big a stadium you've got, how many supporters you've got, it's about how much desire your players have got to win a two-leg playoff. And hats off to Hamilton.
Yep.
They've got the kind of one of the smallest squads in the league, probably the smallest budget in the league. You know, they've not got the most talented players, with all due respect, when you look about the rest of the top flight. But what they've got is heart and desire and commitment and absolute abundance. And when the chips are down, they did it in the playoffs when they beat Hibs a couple of years ago. They needed to beat Dundee a couple of weeks in the last game of the season, or they would go down automatically. They absolutely humped them 4-0. And then they've got do or die against Dundee United. And I thought, as the spectacles go, the games were absolutely dreadful. Weren't great to watch, but over the two legs, Hamilton were far and away the superior team, and it would have been an injustice if they hadn't beaten Dundee United to stay up. You know, that's the way it is. You know, Hamilton, you can't take it away from them. They deserve to still be in the Premiership.
Yep, we have to congratulate Martin Canning and his players. They've kept their nerve when it really mattered. I think that's a fourth consecutive season now they've been in the top flight. And finally, Andy, I mean, we talk about achievement with Celtic, and, you know, everything's relative. For Hamilton to stay in the top flight for a fourth successive year, you have to take your hats off to them.
Yeah, and that's the target. That's the aim for Ackies at the start of each season, as it is for, you know, Motherwell, Dundee, all these teams, provincial teams at that end of the table. That's the aim, and Martin Canning, by hook or by crook, via the playoffs, has achieved it. So, you know, credit to them. I honestly, as I said, thought they were gone after they lost that derby to Motherwell, because, you know, you sensed a bit of a revival at Inverness Cali. You know, they finished this. Yeah, bear in mind, I mean, Inverness beat Motherwell in the final day of the season, so Hamilton had to beat Dundee, and they did. As Colin says, when they've needed results, they've managed to find them, and that's why they're still in the top flight. For Dundee United, for me, Derek, this has huge ramifications, you know, in terms of finance. They gambled last year, players on, you know, big wages at Dundee United for a championship club. It remains to be seen. I mean, I think that the chairman is saying there is no threat of administration, etc., etc. Ray McKinnon, after the game, urging the board to invest, and invest heavily. If they want to avoid a third season out of the top flight, they need investment. I think they've banked a £300,000 loan already. You know, where's the investment coming from? Where is the money going to come from to rebuild the squad, invigorate that squad? I think they've got a tremendous manager in Ray McKinnon. I think they really have. I think he's a first-class manager. But it's like anything else, he will need back by the board. And do they have the money?
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Colin. And keep reading the number one daily, the Scottish Sun, for all the football latest. Thank you. Bye-bye.